The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
We're almost out, right? We're almost. Didn't we put a limit on how many maps anywheres we give away with RGBs?
This is the best value we've ever done, right?
Well, I think we have like 5 or 6 available.
Okay.
That's it.
So check this out. The RGB bundle, 9 months of exercise programming. It's maps anabolic, maps performance, maps aesthetic. Every 3 weeks, you're changing phases. Each program is like 3 programs within each program. But here's what we were offering.
Yes.
Get the RGB bundle. You're going to get the sexy athlete mod. You're going to get the butt builder mod for free. And we're also going to throw in, for the first time, we've never done this before, we're throwing in a maps program for free. You're going to get maps anywhere for free. This is our equipment, no equipment required maps program thrown in for free. And it's limited. We set a limit to 50 and we're almost out. Yeah.
Well, it also comes with a suspension trainer mod inside there.
Wow.
Yeah, and we have a stick mobility mod. So those are all the mods that you're getting free when you get this program.
Wow, so you're going to get maps red, green, and black, severely discounted, free mods, and then we throw in maps white for free, which is your equipment-free workout that you could do when you're traveling or if you want to mix things up. I mean, that's a lot of exercise programming.
Oh, it's a great companion to our MAPS program.
So much content, so much value.
It's really a year's worth of training when you think about it, because you could either cycle back through red or you can take the white on your vacations, because most people within a year's time is going to go on vacation a couple times, right? So
it's super convenient to have it. So why not put it in there?
It's going
to
set you up for the rest of the year.
MindPumpMedia.com. That's for the RGB bundle, and we will throw in MAPS anywhere for free. MindPumpMedia.com.
Couple more left. Get them.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
One lady who ran the marketing, the social media and stuff marketing for Apple. And she's like, nobody goes to websites anymore.
Oh, no.
She said nobody gives a shit about website.
That's
she's
why
like,
it's the last thing to even put on there. You know.
She's like, send people to your social media.
Because, you know, it's exactly what I told you guys when I was searching through looking for information. I found myself, anybody who had a website that didn't have a YouTube for me to watch and listen to, I just went right over it. And mm-hmm. I thought to myself, here I am doing research on other competitors or people in our field and their web pages. And I was supposed to be reading and looking at what they're doing. And I got so tired of reading that I just wanted to watch people's videos. And I was like, holy shit. That moment, I was like, I'm doing this and it's my job to be looking at these people's shit and reading it. And I was already bored of it. Like, dude, how many people are like this? Especially the generation below us.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I'm fucking 35 years old
and millennial.
I act like that. Imagine a 25-year-old. Fuck no. They ain't read none of that shit. They're fucking going.
True.
They're just grazing right over that shit.
Well, here's the thing. Like, you know, for this is for anybody who's trying to build any kind of presence online, which I don't care what business you have, you kind of have to now, right? That's a competitive market. And it's just the way it is. Like, people want to see video. They want to see your social media.
When you're taking a dump.
Yeah. Nobody cares about your website anymore. Unless your website is a place where they can get this information. Why go to a website? A website's just it's fucking boring.
Well, think about it. And
you know what I'm saying?
Well, that's more like a billboard than anything.
We know this.
Hey, watch my billboard. Yeah. Like, I don't want to look at your fucking billboard.
We know this from being in sales for so many years that, you know, people buy from people they like. And there's no way to portray you through like text or through, an email or through reading a website. Like, you could try your best to like give your bio and who you are, but nothing delivers that better than like a video. Like, you see, you just see their mannerisms. They see how they talk, how they act. Like, that was one of the best parts about what we all saw with the Mind Pump platform of a podcast was, you know, if you got people tuning in and listening to you for 45 minutes to an hour, it gives you a chance to really convey who you are, your message, your beliefs, like, just a lot more comes across.
Yeah, you get a lot more time to describe things in fuller detail.
Yeah, and for me, it's a must, because I'm already my whole life, or a majority of my life, this has been a challenge for me. Like, I'm definitely that guy where after somebody's been like, let's being coached. I just got a literally yesterday a message from a client of mine, and they said, you know, I just want to let you know that, you know, we're on her second month right now, or third month. We're going on her. We just finished 2 months. We're on our third month, and she's like, I have to tell you that, you know, I've known you for a couple of years before I decided to hire you, and you know, you're totally different than what I thought. You know, and this is someone who saw me on a regular basis. Now, I didn't get to really, she only saw me for 10-minute bouts and real short little conversations. And she got a chance to really get to know, like, where my heart is, who I really am by listening to me and talking to her now on a regular basis. And, you know, it's hard to do that. I get people judge, man. You can't help it. We all do. You know, you see somebody and instantly you want to put them in a category of, oh, this is like this buff looking dude who's all he must be self-absorbed, he must be an asshole, he must be a steroid meathead, you know what I'm saying, like all these things like right away. So I'm always having to knock walls down when I first meet somebody, and that's tough when you're trying to be yourself. Like, I just want to be me and not have to like worry about what people think.
Well, but I think the absolute future of marketing, especially if you are your own product, which we are, right? What we're selling is us.
Hello, buy me.
Yeah, and I think the future of that is not the old way of putting out processed, fake, you know, production of who you want people to think you are, because that worked in the past, because in the past it was print, which you don't get much out of print, right? It's like, boom, that's it. You don't hear anything from them. They're not writing much. Or it's TV. And most of TV was planned, pre-planned, written, and it was a character, right? One of the reasons why reality TV got so big was people kind of got a peek, or they felt like they got to peek into, you know, something that was a little more real. Well, the future is actually, it's already here, and that's that people want to see real people. And this is good. This is a good thing, because it breaks down walls. And I think, you know, when you're presenting yourself, rather than thinking about, I'm going to present myself in this particular fabricated
fit
way
into the formula.
Yeah, I'm going to be me. And you know what's funny is
you'll attract the other people that are like you.
Well,
we're in a much bigger pond now.
Well, not only that, but it's funny. Okay, I'll tell you what. When I first got on social media, like Adam was like hammering me, like, get on Instagram, and I was just like, eh. And one of the turnoffs, I'll be honest, about Instagram for me was, and I must have called it this 50 million times, is it's narcissism hell. It looks like that to me. Like, you scroll through and it's just, it's like Facebook, but even worse because it's just pictures. And so when I first started on Instagram, I'm like, I'm going to post information. Like, I know it's a pictures, you know, site, right? That's what it is. It's Instagram. It's about pictures. But I want to, you know, that's not me. I want to post my information because, you know, I get the whole look thing, but there's also lots of information I want to convey. And I had people who I worked with who were social media experts, people who worked in the field, and they were telling me, like, no, Sal, you're doing it wrong. Like, Instagram's all about pictures. Like, stop posting long captions about, you know, information and yourself. And, like, nobody wants it. They just want to look at pictures. If you want a lot of followers, it's just about, you know, the picture. And it just rubbed me wrong. I couldn't really, and there were a couple posts where I tried doing that, and it just didn't feel right to me. So I stuck to my guns. And as a result, although my following hasn't gotten massive, of the following that I've built from it, I've gotten lots of interaction. I've got lots of people who are, I feel like I'm impacting positively. I've learned a lot. And I think people are appreciating the kind of that realism that's coming from it. And I think that's the future of effective marketing, is that realism. And that's kind of the way we've tried to run the show.
Which is interesting, because now you start to see a lot more information coming about out that all these big accounts have bought all their followers. And this is like an epidemic. And what's so interesting to me is to see the mentality that I even had. You know, when you look at somebody's number, like you look at a million or you look at, you know, this, I'm always like, wow, like I've never even heard of this person. Why do so many people follow this person?
You know, and it's so strange to me. Like, did they get in very early? Did they make all these moves and, like, talk to this person share for share? Like, share for share the shit out of themselves, you know, to get that? Like I'm just, like, trying to break down. Like, how the hell did this happen?
Dude, we have...
Do you know when I first started? So, I mean, I was the first one, right, out of all of us that ventured this way. Like, I was like, okay, I know I need to do this. And Instagram was fairly new. And I was, and just like Justin just said right now, I was like searching through all these people that had millions of followers. And I was like, what the fuck are these guys doing? You know? And there, so there was lots of little things I noticed, and I tried to emulate that. Like, you know, oh, there's like pages that with guys.
Well, that's the businessman in you.
Right.
Yeah.
We were trying to dissect the formula.
Yeah. I was trying to figure it out, because there was an ultimate goal behind all this. Was once I captured a large enough audience, then, you know, then we would transition into the podcast, and because we knew we needed some sort of momentum before you launched something like this. Right. You know, I know a lot of people are like, you know, how do you get into podcasting? Well, it does help if you have a little bit of momentum heading into it, because, you know, imagine if we started a podcast and none of us had any social presence whatsoever, and we just
started, very difficult. You know, all we had was yours. Yeah. All we had when we started Mind Pump was your Instagram,
yeah,
and your Facebook. If it wasn't for those two things, it would have been just like my family and some of my friends and shit.
Hey, good one, bro.
But it took some time, and I actually really enjoy, I've enjoyed posting now versus posting when I first was growing it, because when I first started, I was trying to do what everybody else was doing to figure, and I read ebooks and like, when am I supposed to post and how often and, you know, what things to do. And just like you're saying, like, man, I was doing the thing, like, I was all these, you know, half naked pictures and my shoes and all these things that, like, you know, materialistic things that, you know, to make people like, oh, this is cool. He's got must have cool things and I want to see what he's doing. Like, man, it just wasn't feeling it. It was what I saw everybody else doing. So, you know, it is something that has only been around for a little while and you're starting to see it. And I love to see like a page like yours where, you know, there's great content behind it. And I feel like you follow a formula with it where, you know, you get the people are going to look because you're really fit and you post maybe a picture of your shirt off. But there's always a message behind that. You know, it's not just this narcissistic photo of look at me, you know, which also reminds me, too, of, you know, a lot of these people that do this. A lot of people don't understand how fake a lot of these profiles really are. Like, I know a lot of these fuckers that have a million followers and shit. And when you meet them in person and you know, like, some of them fucking live at home with their parents, you know what I'm saying? They're posting their badass whip and they're this pro at doing this. And they put on this flamboyant lifestyle. I'm like, bro, you live with your fucking mom. Like, you got all, I can't believe there's a million people that are aspiring to be like you. Like, who the fuck wants to be 28 living at home with their mom still with their BMW? I'm like, that's fucking not cool.
But you borrowed a drone for the weekend. Bro, you know, these cool aerial shots.
See, I'm too.
Follow me.
I would be too fearful that my cover would be blown. Like, I could never be that guy. I could never lie like that, because I'd be like, well, fucking people see me. Like, well, we must have brought up that I drive a 2012 Jetta on the show a million times. Part of that reason is because I honestly don't care. I'm very confident in the fact that I don't care. But part of it's also like, people are going to see me. Like, I ain't going to lie. I'm not going to make up shit and try and portray something that I'm not, because you'll get found out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Here's the other thing, too. It's like, when you see people on social media with these huge followings and they're doing nothing with it, what are they really doing?
Yeah.
You know what they're doing, right?
It's a popularity contest.
They're feeding their ego.
Yeah, it's a popularity.
It has
contest.
Nothing to do with anything.
They're not even making money off of it.
Dude, we know people personally. You know, we were just talking earlier, and I'm not going to name any names because it wouldn't be right, but we know people personally who've got, you know, over a 250,000 followers or 500,000 followers, and they have done, not only have they done nothing with it, but they can't do anything with it.
They can't figure out how to capture anything
because their following is based on like this cosmetic,
the wrong stuff, which is where I was getting at with when I was first posting, right? Mm-hmm, so if you go back, those that have ever gone through like my old social media, all the way deep into my Instagram, you know, I was 1,000 likes on photos and way more interaction, but it was the wrong interaction. You know, it was people hitting on me or talking about my body or, you know, people sharing photos just because, you know, I'm like half naked on there. And those aren't those aren't real customers. You know, those aren't people seeking information or want to learn or want help. Those are people that are just looking at you half naked. And a lot of these big social media people, they get so focused on the number of people that are following them. They're so concerned that I've got 250,000 followers and they feel like that's a big accomplishment. But it's like, dude, 90% of those people don't give a shit what you have to say. You're a pretty face, you know, or you have some sort of fame because you were on TV or something and you've got yourself all this, you know, celebrity status, but you have no way to turn that into any sort of a business. And it's not as simple as everybody thinks, like you do that and then you create something and then a percentage of those people all buy. Like, no, sorry, it doesn't work that way.
You have to, two things. Number, and I was just talking about this with Jessica this morning. We were talking about the kind of impact that you want to make. Right now in the arena of fitness and health, and the impact that if you truly want to make a real impact, you have to be true. You have to be honest with yourself. The second you start to move away from that and you start to think about the things that you should say or the things that you should portray, because like you're saying, this is what gets likes, this is what gets followers.
Mm-hmm.
You're not actually, reality is, in the long run, you're going to do worse because you're not making a real impact. Let me break it down even further. If you could truly impact 2,000 people, you're going to be, from a business perspective, forget about the, now we're talking about being honest with yourself, being true to yourself, but now let's just look at business. You take 2,000 people and you create a real impact in their lives. Business-wise, that's worth more than 200,000 people that just like your photos.
Excellent point.
But much more. And there are businesses that demonstrate this. There was one podcast, and I can't remember. I think it was Entrepreneur on Fire. I don't remember the name of it, where this guy was talking about, and part of his podcast is he's explaining how you make money podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was bringing in revenues of like, you know, $100,000 to $200,000 a month of revenue. He doesn't have a huge audience, but he has a product and coaching where he'll charge $1,000 for this, you know, intensive coaching. Now, when people spend $1,000 on your services, it's because you are making a tremendous impact and because they're seeing a return. Like, I'm going to spend $1,000 on something if I'm going to get $2,000 back or $3,000 right. back, or whatever I'm getting back is totally worth it. So this guy is extremely successful, not because he's reached millions and millions and millions of people, but because he's reached some people, but on a very deep, impactful way. And to be honest with you, I would rather do that. And of course, we want to reach as many people as possible, but I don't want to just reach people and have zero impact. I want to reach the people I do reach. I want them to leave feeling like they got something out of it and that I've done something for them. And in return, this is the selfish part of me, I like also learning and growing from those interactions. And believe me, you could go back to Mind Pump episode 1, start from there and listen to our episodes, and you can hear us changing and mm-hmm. growing. And some of that has come from working with you guys, mm-hmm. and a lot of it's come from our fans.
Well,
a lot of it's come from the shit people have pointed out and talked to us about.
We continue to grow. Of course. You know, I think that's an important point to make, that when we started this, although we had a vision and a direction, we knew that it would forever be evolving and changing. I think people have to understand that too. If you dove into social media and your intentions were to turn it into a business, if you're doing the same things that you were doing a year ago and stuff, you're doing the wrong things. You know, you mm-hmm. should always be evolving and changing and growing. And, you know, a lot of, like I said, if you were to go back, I laugh when I go back and look at my Instagram when I first started, but that was part of the growing process for me. Like, I wasn't, and it wasn't ever about a popularity contest. Just like you said, it was, you know, I'm trying to grab the attention of these people. And that's when I figured it out. I was like, I was getting all these people, but I was like, then all they cared about was my shoes, my car, my body. Like, that's not the message that I'm trying to get. That's not my business either.
And what kind of an impact does that really make?
Yeah. What am I really doing with those people? You know, so, you know, then I started a transition where I was writing more content, and I saw the direction that was going. And then, but then I also learned too that if you just did that, then I was also losing people. So there's like this.
You're being. You see, here's the thing. You got to be smart. I'll definitely
got to have your flavor on it, just like we've always said. It has to reflect who you are and like how your personality, how you project yourself on a daily basis. Like, you know, for me, it looks totally different from me as opposed to you or Adam. You know,
so definitely
it has to be like, oh, Justin said that. You know, because it is a reflection of how I interact with people.
And you also, you know, and yes, you have to be smart about it. Like what Adam was saying, you know, will you post an alluring picture or should you post an alluring picture? Yes, sometimes, because it gets there. It's the bait. That's the bait. I'm going to be honest with you. I posting pictures of myself with my shirt off. I honestly, when every fucking time I do it, I cringe only because, not because of body image issues. I'm comfortable with myself now. I don't give a shit. I'll walk around naked on camera if you want. No big deal. The part that makes me cringe.
Yeah, please don't.
Is that, can you get the wide-angle lens?
Doug, calm your buddy down, please.
But I'll tell you why I cringe. I cringe because I feel like I'm feeding into what I don't like about the fitness industry,
yeah,
which is the cosmetic part.
Yeah.
But then I say to myself, now, Sal, all you're doing is you're baiting people.
You're creating a funnel of truth.
They're going to bait them by looking at that picture, and then I'm going to trick them into reading my shit, yeah. And then I'm going to make the impact.
Oh, you're looking at my dick? And so, oh, yeah? You just learned something.
Let me drop a knowledge bomb on you.
Here's a picture of my dick, and here's a post about ketones. Because I'm just trying to finagle it.
Strangely aroused.
In a way to make that impact. And here's the thing. You got to always question, like, why do I like these likes? Why do I like these comments? Is it because I'm making an impact or because it makes me feel good about myself? Because it feeds my ego. Because there's a lot of fucking people who it's all about their ego. Like, I'm going to post this cute picture of me and look how hot I am. And do you know how many people I know who've got,
look at my titties.
Do you know how many people I know who have 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 followers who have no business? It's nothing other than they're not really trying to convey any message other than they just like the fact that people, yeah, like their pictures. And I'm going to tell you something. That's fine if that's your thing, but be careful with that because it is fragile. And if you start attaching your happiness to these people that you don't fucking know, that have no connection to you, that you're not really making an impact on, that they're just liking your shit, that's going to fall off at one point. And how are you going to feel about yourself? So be very careful. It's fragile.
Well, I just read an article today on, where did I read this, Adam? I'll look it up on my phone.
Adam.
I know. I just read it though. So it's true.
Weed's coming to me, Adam.
it's weed.
They were talking about trolls and how it's ruining the internet. How they're going, it's becoming this epidemic of people that go through and they get just pure enjoyment on pushing people off the cliff. So in the past, like over 10 years ago, it was like the internet was, attract a lot of intellectuals and people that were, wow, we can share all this information and I can learn from people across the globe. And there was a lot more of that going on. Well, now it's become flooded. Everybody's on there. Social media is starting to take over. And now you're starting to get these people that enjoy the bullying and the pranking and all that stuff so much.
All the shitheads.
So they go out of the way to look for these people that are, oh man, I'm so, you know, depressed and sad. And instead of picking them up and lifting them up, it turns into this like trying to push them off the edge and shit. And it's,
damn
it's
it.
Really, it's really
so sadistic.
It is.
Why am I laughing? But it's horrible.
It's real. I just wanted to point that out because it goes along the lines with what you're saying right now of not allowing that to tie to anything. Like if someone gets on my page and tells me I should jump off a cliff, I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, but hey, if you're somebody who has attached themselves to this Instagram and you believe your likes and your comments is a representation of who you are.
Oh, bad.
Well, it's crazy because like you have your physical presence that used to be your identity was just your physical presence.
Such a good point.
And now it's so much more than that. And there's so much more you have to manage. So I would say if you don't have a good handle on all that, you should really limit the amount of exposure you have on the internet.
Well, here's this is what reminds me of. I don't remember the exact quote, but it was Hicks and Gracie. Do you guys know who Hicks and Gracie is?
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably one of the best legendary jiu-jitsu fighters from the legendary Brazilian jiu-jitsu Gracie family. And someone interviewed him and said, gosh, you're a fighting legend, like, man, like, how do you feel? People must come up to you and challenge you all the time. Like, don't you feel like, don't you have to, you must get in fights and stuff all the time. And Hickson's like, no, It doesn't bother me. And the guy's like, well, how can it not bother you? And he goes, how would you feel if a three-year-old child came up to you and threatened to beat you up? He goes, you would have no fear. You would have no anger because you're confident. It's a three-year-old. What are they going to do to you? Mm-hmm. And it made me realize, like, it's that kind of calm confidence. Like, when you're on your social media, you're doing your business, you're doing what you're doing, and people come on there and they'll make a negative comment about your appearance, or they'll make a negative comment about your clothes, or they'll talk shit about whatever. It has nothing to do with you. Yeah. That isn't you. That has everything to do with them. Yeah. The second I look at that person who I don't fucking know and I really don't care, and they're saying this negative thing to me, and I start to like get angry with it, or I start to own it. Like, I'm owning it now. Mm. There's no reason for me to own it. Like, they're going to say what they're going to say, and it's like, that has nothing to do with me. That has everything to
do. This is their enjoyment. Their enjoyment is to get some kind of reaction.
And it's that calm confidence that, well, that's okay.
I've told you guys this, that anytime somebody says something at all, I right away, especially if it's a negative or it's hurtful, or my initial reaction is not an emotional one of, fuck you, or, oh, I can't believe you said that. It's like, I actually pity that person, or I feel bad for that person, because I know that's a reflection of themselves. You know, anytime somebody makes a jab or a comment at someone, it's a reflection of their own insecurities. And then I see, it's, to me, it's glaring. Because if you find the need to point out a flaw or point something out to someone like that, I right away go like, oh man, that poor kid, or this poor guy or girl has a lot of shit going on inside of them. They feel the need that they want to put me down to make themselves feel better. And I just shake my head. And you know, if you really want to be a dick, you can point that out. But most times, I just let it slide, because I think, like, they have so much to work on. And I'm most certainly not going to let them stop my stride in my day, you know. So
that's how you become what you're talking about. And that's a process. It's a process I'm still going through and I'm still working on. But it turns you, it makes you bulletproof. And if you truly want to be bulletproof, and by the way, yes, this is still, we're still on a fitness podcast, but this completely relates to how you become with your own fitness and health, is when you truly become confident and calm in yourself with who you are, and you become bulletproof, your fitness and health and longevity and all these other things that we talk about, they take on, it becomes effortless. It just takes on a life of its own, and you notice that you no longer punish yourself with food and exercise, and these things don't bother you because you have that calm confidence.
Just
gotta
brush your shoulders off.
It's just no problem.
I think it's very important and very tied to health and fitness. I mean, when you're talking about too often, we tie health and fitness to aesthetics and how we look, you know, and then what other people think of how
whatever
we look.
The people expectations are for you and your process and all this kind of shit. Like, who cares about everybody else, dude? Like, the biggest thing you can get is to figure out like where you are, you know, and what you want to accomplish personally, and you just stay true to that.
True. And you know what? This is hilarious, because literally this morning, so I'm going to, you know, I work out in the mornings now, and the place we go to, you know, Club Sport, fantastic locker room, amazing steam room, just a great area to chill. There's a lounge in there, whatever. And it's interesting because I find myself less and less, I feel less and less modest, the term people use. But what I mean by that is I don't care as much if I'm totally naked, you know, while I'm changing or whatever. And I find
Here
it to
go
be,
again, Doug.
I know. I find it, no, I'll tell you something. This is funny. I find it very freeing. And it's not an exhibition way. I'm not showing anything off, but I find that I care less and less about if people are going to look at me or whatever. And I took my mind, I was thinking about this morning and how freeing it felt. And it made sense to me why people will do shit like that, like go to a nude beach, or because it's a very freeing thing to feel that, where you're confident and not feeling judged. Because if you think about it, if we strip everything down, some of the most basic things that we feel, you know, self-conscious about, it's our appearance. We feel so self-conscious about our appearance to the point where there's an entire billion-dollar industry around clothes and covering yourself up, and that, you know, there's a very freeing element to it. And it makes sense to me now why nudist colonies is not, I'm not saying that you're going to go do that, but I'm just saying it makes sense to me. I used to think these people were just exhibitionists.
I agree
with
you.
But it makes total sense.
I agree with you, but I think it's just because we're getting old.
Maybe that's what happens.
You give less fucks.
Yeah. Maybe that's what happens.
Just be honest.
That's what I'm saying.
It goes back to the zero fucks.
Yeah.
It's less and less.
That's it.
Oh God!
I forgot it's coming.
Yeah, it's coming. Queen Claw. The eagle has
planet.
Chimera Quad!
Today's Quad is being brought to you by Chimera Coffee. It's the only coffee that is infused with all natural nootropics for a cleaner, calmer, and more focused buzz without the crash. Click the Chimera link at mindpumpmedia.com and input the discount code MINDPUMP at checkout for 10% off.
It's the motherfucking Quad.
The eagle has landed.
Quee-qua.
Our first question is from Henning BCKHS. He's asking about what your thoughts are on electro-stim training as a replacement to normal training.
Awful idea.
Yeah, so I read, so the whole post was he was saying how it's like a really big thing in Germany.
Let me get a cattle prod and fucking poke you in the ass and see if your glutes grow. You let me know.
Ooh.
Zap you daily.
I do that for fun.
Yeah.
Hey, look, your glutes are getting bigger.
That's why my ass keeps twitching.
So he said it's this new thing in Germany that it seems to be popular. Two things. Number one, it's not a new thing. Stim has been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see it being used regularly in physical therapy offices.
Therapy for the most part.
Yeah, and all it is they'll place a pad on your leg, for example, hook it up to some batteries. That then they'll send electric current to the muscle, which causes it to involuntarily contract. The stronger the current, the stronger the contraction for the muscle. Could it replace normal training? No, not even close.
Yeah, where's the neuromuscular connection?
Yeah, you're not telling the muscle to contract.
You're not controlling that response.
You're not controlling other muscles around it. You're not using it in a functional way. You're not moving it within a full range of motion. Because remember, muscles adapt in pretty specific ways. So if I only contract my muscle involuntarily in this one position, it may get better at contracting in that one person, but it's very narrow. It's very narrow, the scope of where...
You know what this reminds me of? Like, maybe somebody manipulating my legs and, like, moving my legs so I could be a better runner.
Right.
You know? It's like,
that's a good analogy.
Oh, he's picking up my legs, and I got the perfect gait and stride. Okay, now I'm going to go race.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's not going to work out very well.
No, but now here's where I see there being benefit.
As I say, there is definitely benefit.
There's benefit in that if you have some kind of an injury or such poor recruitment that you just simply, and this happens when people get injured, they can't, like I hurt my knee, it's been in a cast, whatever, I got surgery, I can't flex my quad. Like nothing, I just cannot activate this muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I try and push, but my knee is still hurting so bad that I can't do any exercise, I can't flex it or whatever, then I can put the stim on there and it'll get the muscle to flex.
It'll minimize atrophy
and it gives me familiar with that feeling of firing that muscle. Like, okay, I can feel it firing. I know what it needs to feel like. I could see maybe some benefit to... like let's say you have really, really poor glute recruitment, but here's how you would have to use it. Now this would be a major no pun intended pain in the ass, but you'd have to get the stim machine, bring it with you to the gym, attach it to your glutes, fire it for 5 minutes, then do another movement like a hip thrust or something where you continue to feel the muscle and then progress from there.
Can we make Adam do this in a video? That'd be amazing.
Dude, fuck off.
You know what I'd want to do? I'd want to have it on one butt cheek just so we could see that one lift and drop.
Just twitching majestically.
So I have a stim machine that I bought. And
you have one?
I do.
I actually was just telling Katrina I wanted one ordered.
Yeah, this is what I did it with. I would put them on my calves at night, trying to just give more frequency, more volume.
Did you really?
I did, and I would work out on top of it.
Of course you did.
And really didn't do anything. But I did notice that when I use it on areas of my body that were tight, that it would help almost relax them. Because it would get them
I use it more like a massage, like a manual massage.
Yes.
So I use it a lot on my traps and my shoulders that get a lot of overusage. And I'll put it in certain areas that it almost feels like a massage because it's just kind of lightly firing that muscle. Gets the kind of blood flowing in that area and stuff. I find it more useful for that. The only other reason why I'd ever use it or recommend it to clients is just like you said, if injury, we can't lift. She just had, you know, ACL or full knee reconstruction. The next 2 months, we're not going to be doing anything related to a squat or anything serious. throwing it on the quad or whatever to help with atrophy, I think it slows down.
Yeah, you're still going to get atrophy, but it'll help minimize it more.
Yeah, but it's gains from it? No, get the fuck out of here. No. You know, I think you can e-stim yourself for 24 hours straight, 5 days a week, and then you could go squat one day, and you'll get more gains,
of course,
more muscle gains than you will from an e-stim machine.
I could,
all day.
I would be interested in seeing, like, what if we got, and I don't know if anyone's ever done this, but, you know, let's say I'm going to go do a bench press, put some stim on my pecs, and make it contract with my positive portion of the rep.
Oh God!
And relax. Just to see what would happen.
That sounds like a fucking cramp.
I don't know. I'd be interested to see if that does anything. But it's so like work intensive. There's so many moving parts that I don't even think it'd be worth.
Yeah, I think it would throw you off more. That would be kind of fun to test that. Yeah. I would be interested to see what happened. Yeah. I don't see it working or helping much, though. I think it would throw you off.
You can buy these. You can buy them pretty cheap on Amazon.
Yeah, they're $200 to $500 or something like that.
No. I got one for $40.
No way.
Yeah, $40-$50. It's
really?
It's just one unit. It had four pads.
Wow, they've gotten really cheap.
They're super cheap. Dude,
I'm a Tuck a trainer right now. I was looking for one.
They recycle these freaking stupid fitness devices all the time. It's going to happen again. Mm. The fucking belt you wear around your waist and it does the stim on your abs. Every fucking 10 years that shit comes out. New. It works out your abs while you're just sitting there.
It contracts them.
Yeah, no. They've been coming out with that shit since the 70s, so it's not new.
I'm waiting for the one that just shakes my fucking fat off.
Yeah.
They have it already.
They do have that already.
I know. I just want to buy it.
Silly as fuck.
Kiersey is asking, what do you guys think about saunas and steam rooms to promote health, recovery, and performance?
Oh, we've been sitting in some steam rooms after workouts lately.
We've been steaming.
I'll start with a little anecdote because now I have access to a steam room. And now that I've been doing it regularly, a couple things I've noticed. I haven't noticed anything in terms of like recovery, but I noticed my skin is really starting to take on a new look. It feels and looks a little bit healthier. So I think because it's encouraging, circulation and encouraging sweating or whatever, I think steam in general probably does that
I
to skin.
I feel like it helps my breathing a little bit. Like just taking in a lot of steam.
Oh, dude, in your sinuses?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
That's the best benefit I could see.
Well, especially when you go to the ones like we get where they actually have the eucalyptus in there, right? Inside the steam. So you can feel it when it goes through.
It just clears me out.
Yeah. So I've noticed my skin looks a little bit different. And then what I do is I go from the steam to the shower and I go straight to cold water.
Well, let's talk about
I feel invigorated. I feel really, I almost get this little like boost of energy.
Eyes are all like crazy dilated.
I just feel really good. But here's my views on the health and recovery and performance and longevity, potentials. Anytime you see something because do we have the science that supports the use of sauna, steam rooms, cold dips for longevity? Some science points to it, and then some science shows maybe not. However, anytime, and the reason why I'm doing this is I've learned my lesson now over and over again that just because we don't have science right now supporting it doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't have benefit. Because I will use fasting. I will use fasting as an example. Fasting has been used by cultures for thousands and thousands of years, has been heralded by Hippocrates and all these ancient healers and all these Chinese medicine, all these forms of medicine that are far older than Western medicine, who've advocated fasting. And for the longest time, we've had zero science supporting it. In fact, doctors in Western medicine said, no, it's bullshit. Fasting, you don't need to cleanse or whatever. Your body does a great job of it. Eat regularly. It doesn't
That's
make
what your sense. Liver's for.
And now we're getting science supporting the fasting, really backing up the anecdote. Well, going in steam, going in sauna, going in really cold water has been used for thousands of years by cultures that have no contact with each other, cultures that have no influence over each other. So basically what I'm saying is you've got this culture over here that's 10,000 years old and they've been doing hot stones in a teepee, and there's cultures over here that are doing dry sauna, and then there's cultures over here that are doing steam, and they're not even related to each other. They somehow came to the conclusion themselves that there's health and longevity benefits to it. There's probably something to it. It's so ingrained.
It's logical. It's like it's the same thing with like overcoming environmental stress. So if you think of this as an external environmental change that you're overcoming, like why wouldn't that affect your body in a certain way? If it's affecting my core temperature, if it's affecting my skin temperature, if it's affecting the way that, you know, my blood flows and like my body's challenged in a different way, I would feel that there had to be some sort of benefit.
Well, we just talked about this on a recent episode about any sort of like, you know, exercise, it's a temporary stress. And you know, and you said, man, I think I'm having, you said this on the episode, I think I'm having an epiphany right now that could it be possible that any stress, any temporary stress
applied properly
actually has, like you said, no sleep. Like we talked how important sleep is, but maybe having a day where you don't sleep one day, you know, like that temporary stress, maybe that would actually have all these benefits that come along with it. And I would venture to say that the putting yourself in a fucking super in an oven, you know, putting yourself in an oven for 15 minutes occasionally would for sure bode.
Dude,
you know,
I'm shocked. It shocks me at how consistent the concepts of adaptation are for
across the board,
the fucking board.
Yeah.
Because here's what I know. I know exercise very, very, very well. And here's what I know with exercise. It's a stress on the body. Apply it properly, and the body will adapt to that stress by getting stronger, getting healthier, getting more fit. If I apply that stress wrong by over-applying the stress, like if I go lift weights and I just beat the shit out of myself, I go to failure in every set and I just hammer myself, I overcome my body's ability to adapt, and all my body's worried about is recovering,
right.
And sometimes it can't even keep up with that. Now, let's take that and let's apply it towards
the sauna.
Let's start with fasting. Let's apply it towards fasting. You know, I'm really good at fasting. That means I can fast for 48 hours and I feel okay. But let's say you've never fasted before and you're used to eating really poorly and frequently. Is a 48-hour fast going to be too much of a stress?
You'll be miserable.
It's going to be too much of a stress.
Yeah. It's just like a sauna. You never sit in a sauna before. You know, is it necessary for you to go at 200 degrees for 10 minutes? Like, no. Like, you're used to the hottest day, what, hits 105 maybe? Hottest ever your body ever feels, and that 90% of the time you're in a fucking AC room?
Well, I was just going to say, in the past when I've used the sauna, I've got negative benefit results from it where I'd feel dizzy, mm-hmm. I'd feel lethargic afterwards. And the reason was because I would go in a sauna or steam room in the past, and my goal was to push it.
Right.
Like I'd sit in there and be like, okay, no.
Same way. A hard workout.
People train the body, right?
Yes.
I was guilty of the same thing.
Bro, but it's fucking, that's why I said it was an epiphany to me.
Yeah.
So now I treat it like exercise. Like I go in there, I challenge myself a little bit, and then I get out. And what I find is with the frequency, that little by little, I'm comfortable. I'm more and more comfortable hanging out in there a little longer, moving around a little longer, and I'm noticing health benefits. Again, it's anecdote, but that's what I'm noticing now. Same thing with a cold shower right afterwards. I used to go in a cold shower after the steam room, and it was fucking shocking. Now I go in the cold, and it's like I can kind of handle it. I feel like my body's starting to adapt to these changes in temperature, and it's got to have some positive effects on my health, and I can feel them. And like I said, it's been in these cultures for so long. Shit, in the Nordic countries, like in Iceland, it's their culture.
Yeah, that polar bear club or whatever, they would all jump in and, you know, they dig a hole basically in this frozen lake and they all jump in for, you know, 10 minutes or so.
I think it's important to know too that simple adaptations like that too are, you know, like working out or anything else, overdone, and the more consistent you use it, the less the change in benefits you're also going to notice too. Like let's say you decided to do the sauna every single day for the last year. What you felt and saw from it in the first month or two, as far as the change and the health benefits, are going to diminish by the year.
Yeah, your body adapts to it.
It's become adapted to it, and now it's easy. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. These type of things I love to, because I utilize it for sure, and I like to intermittently put it in there versus, you know, I read a little bit of something and it goes, oh, wow, there must be benefits to this. I'm going to do this all the time, which is what I feel like people do. Or I'm going to take it to the next level. Oh, the sauna is beneficial. They say, you know, a good 10 to 12 minutes. I'm going to do 15.
Right.
You know, oh, they say, you know what I'm saying? Like, that is such the mentality of us as humans, is like we find out that there's a little bit of good of something, and then we want to take it to the extreme, thinking that we're going to get more benefits by pushing it further and harder.
No, it's about changing things.
Paul Ryan, 1987, is asking the best way to stay lean year-round, taking into account metabolic adaptation slash damage and the use of macro management and adaptation.
What a great segue into this question. This is actually related to the last question we just talked about with the sauna and steam room, and like what Adam said about, you know, not doing it all the time. And let me explain what I'm talking about. The best way to stay lean year-round. Let's consider this. Should you...
First, can we address the people that think they're lean year-round? Can we say that, or do we want to wait, save that?
Oh, let's say... Well, no, I know where you're going. We'll save that for a second.
Okay.
But here's the thing. There's a...
Backloaded pictures.
I want you, if you're listening right now, and you and fitness is something you're passionate about, and longevity. In other words, you're not just training for one specific event and then never training again. You want to be able to do this for the rest of your life. Okay. If you're that person, hear me out. Rather than giving yourself like this lean body fat percentage that you need to stay at year round, give yourself a range. Give yourself a range of where you're going to allow your body to be. And that range should be, it could be 10 pounds, it could be 15 pounds. And here's why. The human body did not adapt in a constant state of everything being exactly the same. The human body evolved in states of famine and feast, in states of cold and hot, in states of eating seasonally. This food is growing right now. Well, I mean, humans are opportunistic eaters. This is why we're omnivores. This is why we can eat so many fucking different things, because we almost went extinct many times, and we learned to eat what was there. Sometimes tree with fruit. Guess what I'm going to eat right now? Tree with fruit. Sometimes no fruit. All I have is this fatty, you know, salmon that I can catch. So I'm going to eat that.
And some bugs.
Bugs. You know, whatever. If I have food, I'm going to eat it. I'm going to gain a little bit of weight. If I don't have food, I'm not going to eat as much. I'm going to get a little leaner. So when you're thinking about staying lean year round, I want you to give yourself this buffer and range that you allow yourself to be within, because constantly trying to stay at 9%, 8% body fat, or if you're a female, 15%, 16% body fat, will not contribute to longevity in any good way. If anything, it will contribute to poor body image. It will contribute to issues with food, where you need to control everything a certain way. It'll take away from your life rather than contribute to life. Mm-hmm. That being said, the best way to stay lean within a range year-round is to keep health and longevity on the forefront. Make that your ultimate goal. And the way you do that is, you know, by cycling things. Like, I do find that my body does well, and this is for me personally, with relatively low carbohydrate intake. However, I do also understand that having that metabolic flexibility gives me benefits to my health. So I make sure to include them on occasion. And I do make sure to include things like a day where I eat just vegan, or a day where I'll include some starch, or I'll have some fruit, or this is a food that's in season, you know, I'm going to throw some of this in there. And through doing that throughout the year, you end up finding that you're able to stay healthy and relatively lean year round, and it's not a struggle all the time. And it's a good relationship with all these different things. And it's not, you're not worried about this one period of time, like, I got to get in shape for this one event or one, you know, I'm going to the pool. It's just like that always.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I think that people are always asking us, you know, what diet are you guys on, or how do you eat? Or you'd be really surprised on how inconsistent we are with what we do. You know, we're aware of...
There's certain things we're consistent with, but a lot of
planned
things we're not.
Inconsistency.
Yeah.
Though.
Yes. You know, and but there's never like this diet or regimen that one of us is always following, like whether it be ketogenic or vegetarian or carb cycling or... You know, none of us are like doing that nonstop. Like, there's all these benefits to all those things. There's a benefit to carb cycling. There's a benefit to ketogenic. There's a, you know, there's a benefits to vegetarian. There's benefits of intermittent fasting. And we intermittently incorporate all of them into our nutrition regimen. I wanted to point out that a lot of people think that there's the social media stuff with like all these, you know, my peers, right? It fucking drives me nuts. Most of these motherfuckers don't look like this most of the time. They don't look
like
this.
We know a lot of them.
Yeah.
And they don't.
No, they don't
look like this. You know what they do? They save a shit ton of photos.
Yes.
Of when they were shredded.
They look like I look right now. You know, I look all right. I look like I work out, but I don't look fucking shredded. You know, I walk around, you know, at my best.
I think you're sexier like this, but anyway.
Thank you. Yeah. I walk around at my best 6%. And what I mean by at my best, I'm not talking about stage. I mean off stage, off season, between, you know, 6 to 10% body fat. I'm right in that range. And, you know, it's a very manageable body fat percentage for me. Six is a much, much harder. The more realistically is that 7 to 9 range is pretty easy. Pretty easy, meaning I don't have to track and log everything. I make healthy choices. I include my intermittent fasting. I stay on my weightlifting routine. It allows me this little bit of flexibility and I can still manage myself in good shape. So when you see these, you know, pro athletes that look like they're, you know, fucking shredded year round, they are not looking like that year round. They have taken photos and videos like crazy when they are completely shredded, and they just have a library of them. How do I know that? Because I fucking have the same thing. You know, I just choose not to do that. I've got at least 100 to 200 photos and videos that no one's ever seen that I took like crazy when I was shredded. And I just don't do that. I don't like giving that perception to people. I think that Mind Pump represents the opposite of that. And, you know, the peers that I work with or work around and deal with, like, dude, those guys are, and most of them are actually more extreme than I am. They get way out of shape in off season and carry a bunch of body, and then they go to the other extreme. So, you know, you don't want to try and maintain that. It, like Sal said, I think it creates a very unhealthy relationship with one, your body image, and then also with food. It shouldn't be like that, you know. So
no, if you're a guy and you're constantly like, okay, I want to stay 7% all the time or 6% all the time, even if you were to do it right,
you're not my friend.
Yeah. I'll just tell you that right now. Well, even if you were to do it right, even if you were to stay at 6 or 7% year round, and you were, you know, trying to do it right, and what I mean by right is you're trying to eat this way and that. Just maintaining that lean of a body fat percentage for that long without letting it fluctuate is probably not good for you. You probably want to show your body that it can have a little bit more sometimes, that it can fluctuate a little bit. I notice detrimental effects. I'll say to myself, like, it's time to do what I call a mini bulk. I hate to use the word bulk, but I'll start to notice detrimental effects where I think I need more calories. I need to eat a little bit more. And then there'll be times when, you know, like right now, I'm like, I just don't need much and I feel good right now. And you just got to be smart enough to be able to do that and give yourself that buffer. For me, it's a weight buffer more than body fat percentage, where I'll say, okay, I like to stay between, you know, 188 to 195 pounds is like where I tend to stay, and I let myself kind of fluctuate. I think that's one of the keys.
You know? Yeah. Well, we talk a lot about the mini bulk and mini cut, you know, is allowing yourself. And we people say, well, what's the optimal time? And, you know, we've had debates of, you know, 2 to 4 week range somewhere in there that you should stay on the mini bulk. But that doesn't mean there hasn't been a time where I'm in a surplus for longer than that, or I'm in a deficit for longer than that. But it's just being aware of that, being self-aware of how long you've been eating this way and continuing to confuse the body. I'll give you an example. It just happened to be this weekend. So Thursday, I took off from Thursday all the way till Sunday. I was out of town. I was with my best friend who was getting married, and, you know, there was drinking involved, there was cake involved, there was eating out involved, there was lack of activity and exercise involved. So I definitely, you know, let my body go for the last 4 or 5 days. And I'm very aware. I mean, last night, Katrina, we get home and we're like, hey, you know, we're back on our routine and regimen come Monday. What do you want to have for like your last, you know, hurrah, pile the last bit of shit on what we've been doing already? Well, let's go have some pizza. So we had pizza last night. And, you know, I literally got up at 1, then at 3, then 5, and this morning on the toilet, and
diarrhea.
You just my stuff, and today I'm just not right today. Like, a lot of people just ignore those signals. You know, they feel that, they ignore it, and I most certainly can go today and I can keep piling on the shit, and soon my body will get adapted to it.
Then you start looking like a pile of shit.
And then soon, you're right, and soon my body will start to tell me that it will get adapted to allowing all that shit in there, and then I'll stop getting the signals, and then it will feel fine, and it will feel good, and I'll be okay. And this is what happens to people. Do not ignore those signals. If you've been eating good, you've been eating clean, you decide to enjoy yourself a little bit, by all means, do that. Be human. Allow that. There's lots of positives that happen to that. It creates that.
If you're not craving nutrients and like healthy, like whole foods, like that's something you better address.
Yes, you've adapted. If you exactly, if you never want a big ass salad, you never want fruit, you never want any of these nutrient dense foods. That's because you've been eating a lot of shit and you've let your body adapt.
Chances are you're walking around and you look like a pile of shit.
Just
going to be honest.
Nicely put right there. But there's something to be said about allowing the metabolic flexibility. So allowing yourself to kind of detour for a day or two or whatever, but then also not ignoring the signals that your body gives you as feedback. Because if you do ignore them, you continue on that track. Trust me, the body will also get adapted to eating pizza and fucking ice cream every night.
Well,
and then sooner or later, you're on this fucking train that ain't stopping, man.
Well, look, health also has a lot to do with social health, your mental health, your relationship with your partner or your friends. Like, you were at an event. What was the event? Your friend got married?
Yeah.
Friend got married. This is a social health event. This is not about you being fit. You're not there working out. You're not there, you know, trying to nourish your body with nutrients. You're there to nourish your relationships with your friend and your family. And that means you drink alcohol, you eat, you know, you party, you have a good time. I did the same fucking thing this weekend. It's funny you brought that up. Like,
oh, really?
Yes, I partied this weekend.
Me too.
I partied this
weekend.
Let's
high five.
But I tell you what, it was because I was nourishing the relationships. I was nourishing, you know, the people I was around.
I told everybody I'm nourishing this moment with you guys.
Yeah, that's part of
being. They said I was weird.
It's part of being healthy. But like Adam says, then pay attention to those signals and then realize like, okay, now it's time to, you know, nourish my body, my health, my mind. And the funny thing is, too, knowing what I know, I can mitigate some of the damage caused by some of that stuff. So, for example, you know, if I know I'm going to eat or drink, you know, I'm going to drink lots of alcohol, I will do things that I know protect my brain. I will make sure that I'll be in ketosis leading up to it because I know ketones are neuroprotective. I'll use nootropics. You know, Chimera Coffee's got nootropics in it, some really, really good ones that I know are neuroprotective. So I'll make sure to have, you know, some of that in the morning, and I'll put some MCT oils in there so I can, again, have those ketones. I may do things like I'll take a little bit of melatonin at night because the melatonin I know has got some neuroprotective properties and I know it'll help me sleep. And so I'll mitigate some of the damage, but I'm not going to like, you know, be at this party and say to him, I'm not going nuts with it. And the reason why I'm not going nuts is for the same reason. Like, if I go crazy with the drinking and the food, then it becomes about the drinking and the food. I'm at this event or I'm hanging out with this person or these people, and I'm because I want to build this part of my health, which is the relationships I have with them. So two ways I can go that can be wrong. One way is I could be like, no, fuck that. I need to be lean and not eat, like, just be super, super, super strict. Now I'm not catering. Now I'm not taking care of that health part of me, the social health part of me. Or I can go the opposite direction and be like, I'm with my friends, I'm gonna go fucking nuts, I'm just gonna eat everything and drink everything. Well, now it's not about being with my friends. It's not about nourishing those relationships. It's about, again, the food. It's about me going apeshit with the food. So really, it's just being, you know, you have to go in there and understand the type of health that you're fostering there. It was about my friends and family. It wasn't all about the drinking and the eating, but it was. I allowed those things to happen. You know, you loosen up with the alcohol. You have a great time. You make those connections. And that's it.
Yep.
This next question is from Watch Me Take It.
Is this on RedTube?
Take what?
Yeah. Is really, this on a Mind Pump TV channel?
Like a cucumber? Or what are we talking about here?
God.
This person is asking, how do you guys balance out giving free content and making a living and paying the bills?
We haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, this
is a work in progress.
Yeah. What a perfect question. Like, okay, so I'm going to just air shit out a little bit.
Yeah.
Like we always do.
You put our laundry out there?
Why not? literally,
stinky.
Before we...
Can we start a GoFundMe account first before you say all this?
Exactly. Before we started recording this episode, we're in here and we're discussing, we're talking about our revenue and production and what we're doing and how there's certain things we're doing very right and some things we're not doing very right. And so Doug is definitely the one that kind of, he pays attention to the more organizational type of stuff. So he's basically outlining how bad we are at the certain sides of the business, inventory and tracking this and tracking that. And, you know, it's good because we realize that we've done as well as we've done just because we love to give. We love to give information and some of our talent. But it, and it's also good, though, because we're realizing there's a lot of stuff that we're missing.
Yeah, we can improve.
That we're missing and that we can improve upon. But at the end of the day, here's the thing. At the end of the day, if we're going to be totally honest with ourselves, what really excites us and really makes us passionate is impacting people. And the nature of the beast is lots and lots and lots of free content. Now, if I take it a step further, if I want to analyze that from a business perspective, it's also smart business, because the more free shit we give out, the more, like our YouTube channel, let me tell you something right now. We only have, as of the time recording this, I don't know, 1,400 people subscribe. We just started our YouTube channel. It's Mind Pump TV. Only 1,400 people right now. It's growing pretty rapidly. But if you look at it, you look at the, you can tell the quality and the information we're putting out. And it's, we're not getting anything for it. We want to give out as much information as possible. We want it to be really good. We want it to represent us. But we also know business-wise that that free content will come back to us in more of an impact, more of a following, more of people listening to us, you know, being in people's ear more, being, you know, in front of people's eyes more. So really, you know, the nature of the beast nowadays is you got to be really, really good at giving out free content before you could ever expect to make a dime.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to make a dime without that.
Well, it's being growth minded too. Like a lot of people, I feel like that sort of famine mentality of, you know, most of these businesses you'll see, like, so people that are doing things and selling supplements or promoting certain things, there's a shelf life on that. And they feel it, and they know that, you know, they have to hustle as hard as they can to squeeze as much out of everybody as they possibly can in order to, you know, make this a success and basically write off and do something else. Well, this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing long term. And what we're doing is we're trying to provide as much information as we can to then attract different types of people. Everybody has something else that led them to our show. And we feel like the more opportunities we can place out there to attract a different kind of person to get into what we're trying to do, you know, we find that as a win. So if you become a listener of ours and you want to then try and contribute to what we're doing, like that's where we get the benefit reward thing going on. And also we provide programs that are specific. So a lot of our information, you know, it's kind of shotgunned out there. You're going to find a lot of great information on the podcast. You're going to find a lot of information on the videos and all that. But how do you put it all together in a nice, tight, uniform sort of fashion? Well, we thought of that too, but that's what we have to sell. That's the thing that, you know, once you trust in what we're talking about, once you see all the effort and information that we've put into this, that's really where you can see it presented to you in the fashion that we want through our program.
Well, being straightforward too, like, and very blunt, and Lane Norton said this, and I've said this, I quote, I think a couple times on the podcast, that, you know, success is the battle of attrition. And that couldn't be more true in what we're doing. You know, first of all, when we entered all this, the four of us were very successful entrepreneurs outside of Mind Pump. So that helps a lot. Let's be honest. I mean, if we were four guys that all got together and said, hey, let's build this business, and we all weren't making very much money or weren't very successful beforehand, it would be very, very challenging to have done what we've done right now. You know, we've given, we didn't give ourselves our, everyone's probably cringing right now in the room as I'm about to share some of our finances, but we didn't pay ourselves any money for the entire first year. And the first time we paid ourselves was in January, and it was $1,000. And you can't fucking make any
boom, bitch.
You can't make any money off of, or rich. You can't make a living off of.
Take that, shreds.
$1,000 a month. Now, of course, we
especially when you live in,
yeah,
the average home price where we live is $1 million.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So obviously, those that have been listening for a long time know that we recently went full time. So we're all not paying ourselves $1,000 anymore. But that gives you an idea that it took a year before we can even give ourselves a fucking dime. So you can't just expect to get into something like this and okay, you're gonna be turning revenue the next day. We also knew that, you know, we had to create ourselves as an authority, which require, like, you can't just come out because, and this is what I don't like. I don't like when you see PhDs or people come out there and they just, you know, I went through all the schooling, I am authority, and buy what I have to sell you. Like, we don't have that, right? None of us are PhDs in here. So we had to build that credibility through giving out free information for a long time. And a lot of it, we've had to drown people with help and giving. Now that we've created this following of people on all of our social media platforms, now it makes it a lot easier to ask. So once you've given so much that people, and this, we get this feedback a lot. So, I mean, being straightforward, a lot of people that have purchased things for us, some people will buy things and they're just like, man, I feel like I need to buy from you guys because of how much you've helped me through free information. And so that makes it a lot easier to produce revenue, or versus coming right out the gates and like, oh, we have all this stuff for sale and trying to convince people to buy. It's like, no, the approach was let's give. Man, I don't think we didn't even have a website up and running to where we even sold a single program for the first 6 months. Right, mm-hmm. Doug? Is that something like that? The first 6 months or so? Yeah, first three or four months before we even had the first website up to where we even offered anything for sale. And we really didn't even start to push it that way with commercials and things on our show until almost a fucking year in. So we spent a lot of time knowing that we needed to give. And that's the same thing with this YouTube channel, like Sal said. Like, ultimately, we hope that if we have as many people that are listening to the podcast that actually go over to the YouTube, you know, we'll get paid through ads and advertising through YouTube, and that's the ultimate goal. And that's one of the ways that those of you that are listening that have enjoyed listening to the show and that we've helped out in any way, I mean, not even asking for a dollar from you guys, you can help us by just going and subscribing and sharing. That's huge for us because, you know, when we start to get into the millions of people, then we can get, YouTube's going to fucking pay us and other companies will pay us. We don't even need your money. We can continue to provide free service and free information and free help. And that's really the model of what we're building is to drown people with information and content to where literally we put every fucker out of business because we deliver something that is better, more professional, more content for free for everybody. But in order for us to do that, I mean, we really need the help of all of our listeners to go on and listen and subscribe and share all this stuff. And for the most part, I feel like a lot of people have. We've gotten a lot of most all of this business has grown through word of mouth and sharing. We haven't paid big advertising. We haven't done a bunch of shit like that. And we've really relied on impacting people, like Sal said, and giving to people in hopes that, hey, and I feel that way. I feel most people, when you genuinely care and you genuinely give like we have with a true heart, with good intentions, I think a good majority of people feel that and they want to give back and help in any way. And I feel like a lot of where we're at and that balance of being able to make a living has come from people that truly want to support us. And we have if you're not already on the forum, you get to hear us kind of express this more on there, because I really feel like the people that are on the forum have been with us for a long time. They're some of our biggest supporters.
That's our OGs.
It is. Those are some of our biggest supporters in what we do, and we try our best to continue to give back and to express that, to express how much we value them and tell them that, man, you guys have really helped this business grow to where it's at. And to be honest, it's barely the beginning right now. Well, there's fucking so much more coming. You know?
You know, it's funny, like training people, you know, having clients I would always say this one thing to them, because inevitably people would get frustrated with their progress. They would get frustrated because they're starting with me and my goal, and I'll be straight up with them and say, you know, we're going to get you healthy before we even think about losing your 30 pounds or before we even think about these cosmetic goals you have. We need to make you healthy first. And so they would get frustrated sometimes because, you know, Sal, it's been 3 months. And I would always tell them, trust the process. Trust the process. You're doing everything right and it's going to happen. And of course, sure enough, before they knew it, they lost the 20 pounds, metabolism's faster, they're feeling great, better than they ever have, and the weight never came back on. Well, you know, same thing here. Like, we're trusting the process, and the process is to be who we are, provide the information that we want, you know, provide, that we know will impact people in a positive way. And that's the process we got to continue to pressure, because that's what will make us grow. And look, at the end of the day, here's the bottom line, guys. At the end of the day, if I just support myself, if I can just support myself and this is my job, I think I fucking succeeded.
Yeah,
I have
yeah.
succeeded at life.
Amen.
Because I get to sit in here, bullshit with you guys, laugh, have a good time, do what I love, talk to people, and I can pay my bills. I don't need any more than that. Good stuff.
Yeah, lead out by helping people.
That's it.
That's it.
And if you want to help us, go to mindpumpmedia.com. You can check out our programs there.
on that note.
On that note.
Help us out, please. Yeah,
you can also leave us a five-star.
I got kids, man.
Leave us a five-star rating and review on iTunes. If we like your review and we think it's one of the best ones, you'll get a free t-shirt. And of course, go to YouTube. Mind Pump TV. It's our new YouTube channel with some pretty awesome videos. We're getting a lot of good feedback on them right now, so check it out.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.